welcome everybody to RP Grinders episode 415. I'm your host this week, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug. What's up, gents? How you guys doing?
All things considered, hanging in there pretty well. It's been kind of a shit week for multiple reasons.
But it's been a shit year, man. It's been a shit fucking year for me, to be honest with you, man. I can't wait till fucking 2016 is done. Actually, I can't wait till 2020. I don't know about you guys, but whatever.
Yeah, well, for the time being, I'm looking forward to early 2017.
Oh, I got to hear about this. I'm sure we'll hear
about it. I have reviews, but... I mean, you know why I'm looking forward to early 2017, Frank.
Oh, yeah, that part I do know, man. That's
I mean, there
cool
is
part.
More to that, but I'm not revealing all that yet.
Okay. Breakman, you sound...
I didn't say anything yet.
No, earlier you were sounding kind of like tired, man.
What are you talking about? That, stop putting words in my mouth, Frank.
It's only because he's already been drinking for the last 5 hours.
Oh, man.
What time is it? 7 o'clock? I've been drinking for about 6 hours.
I should take up drinking again, I swear, guys, man.
I just want you to know, I'm sorry. I'll never underestimate you again.
Eric, how was your week, man?
All right, for the most part, I guess. I took a day off, so that's cool. It's a very distressing thing when you go an entire election campaign not knowing what your parents are going to vote for. Then you go to the house and then you see tickets to a Trump rally, and then see a Trump Pence sign when you go there yesterday doing your laundry.
We're gonna talk about it after this week, though, I'm telling you guys, after this week, I don't want to talk about Trump.
See,
anymore,
my parents don't put their signs outside on the lawn like most people do. They just hide them somewhere, usually in the garage.
Yeah,
that is a subject I want to touch on. But that's something we can save for later.
Yeah, like I said, we're going to talk the election this week, but I promise there'll be no more election talk. We're going to get everything out today. And it's not that I'm forbidding it, because if you guys have stuff you want to talk about, then...
I got a question. What's this election thing you guys are talking about?
Good it's for over. You, Breakman.
Dude, good for you, don't worry man. About it. It's trust me, it's just a bad dream.
Okay.
In four years, it'll all be over.
No, it'll all be over.
Is it one of the beers I drunk? Did it get to me?
It's you and your goddamn IPAs. You need to drink some.
I don't like the IPAs. You need to drink
some macro brews, my friend.
I'm like the rest of America.
It sounds like macaroon.
Breakman just needs
like fucking Bud Light and shit.
Breakman needs to make America great again. And just keep on drinking, man. That's what I'm saying.
I can work.
Yeah. I think we're in for eight.
Me in chat.
I think we're in for eight years of nonsense, but we'll get into it. Let's start with the news, Eric. Let's get through this. Let's do headlines, quickly get through this shit. Come on.
Okay. From Gamatsu, we've got Mary Skelter, Nightmares Coming West, Summer 2017. Formerly named Kagekokuto, Mary Skelter. And it's going to launch for PS Vita in North America and Europe. In spring 2017, no specified date, but I'm gonna bet it's gonna be April. Because if it was March, that'd be too soon. That'd be too close to January, and there's lots of shit coming out in January.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds cool. Like it's got walking nightmares and blood drenched transformation, and everyone's got a job. So. It's a dungeon crawler.
It's pure fantasy, is what you're saying. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got a job.
Yeah.
It says special enemies can chase you through the dungeons. That sounds a lot like Etrian Odyssey.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, but cool. Hopefully it's better than Meikyu was, because Meikyu was not a good game.
Yeah. All right. Maybe this next game is going to be good. Mug, let's go with you.
All right, coming to us live from the site which must not be named. So when I saw this, I first thought it was a Shin Megami Tensei series and story and got a little excited. But anyway, English translation is available for Nocturne Rebirth, a dark JRPG about cruel vampires. And it looks to be in 2D, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Luna does not realize that the man who saved her from bandits, Reveal, is a vampire who intends to kill her and her entire village in Nocturne Rebirth, a dark JRPG that was recently released on itch.io with an English fan translation, which is cool. It follows the pair across a 10 to 20 hour adventure, one that features a complex ATB battle system, recruitable monsters for party members, obvious Shin Megami Tensei influences, and a deep leveling system. It was originally created in RPG Maker 2000 back in 2002 by Japanese developer Cogwheel/Shoal. This version is a remake by the same developer in 2009 created in RPG Maker XP. It features almost entirely custom graphics, which is nice to see for an RPG Maker game, and its own unique soundtrack. It can be downloaded for free from itch.io and the RPG Maker forums. So yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a game to check out, 10 to 20 hours, that's not a bad, you know, bad length of time for a, no. You know, for a JRPG.
That's so, all yeah. Right. That usually translates well, I mean, to like, about 40 hours.
That's about how long that's about how long Chrono Trigger was. I mean,
yeah. Like, Xenogears Next is like 30. Yeah. I'm at the end.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm down for that. This is the second time in a row or second time today we've mentioned kind of a horror themed RPG, so I'm down. That's cool. All right. Yeah. Breakman, you're up next, bud.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. I'm skipping the headline. Squinix and Silicon Studio have announced Bravely Default Fairies Effect for Fairies. Bravely Default. Oh my god. Bravely Default. Fairies Effect.
Move along. Move along.
Fantasy RPG is due out in 2017 with a closed beta test set to begin soon on a first come, first serve basis. Okay.
All
right. So by the time you heard this, by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's too late.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. I will say one thing for Square Enix. Like, when it comes to their mobile stuff, I know people shit on their ports and everything like that, but when it comes to, like, the dedicated mobile stuff they've put out, they're well programmed.
Yeah.
I love
it. It's like, if you look at, like, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius and the one that they just... the original one, Mebius something, that they were just saying...
No, it's called Record.
Brave Exvius.
Not record.
It's called Record Keeper.
No. I know which one you're talking about. There's more than one game. God damn it.
No, there's not. You're mispronouncing the name.
That may be the only game you're playing.
Stupid ass naming convention where everything sounds ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Well, Brave Exvius was actually pretty good. It looked fantastic. Like, loved the graphics and everything in it. But there's another one, a newer one that was like 3D that they put out. And they were saying it was getting a port to another system, but I can't remember.
We talked about it. It's Mevius. Yeah.
Yeah, something Mevius. I was thinking like, you know, yeah, Mobius.
It was called Mobius in Japan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move
that's,
on.
That's how they say Mobius in Japan. Yeah. Mobius.
Mobius. All right. Let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. I'm going to skip the headline here. Atome visual novel Hakuoki Kyoto Winds, released as Shinkai Kaze no Shō in Japan, will launch for PS Vita in North America and Europe in spring 2017. So key features 12 handsome bachelors. So that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
This is basically the original game, but with added content, so it's also a sequel.
Yeah. 80 hours of romance and beauty at your fingertip, and there's a trailer for it. So if you want to see that, look it up on Gamatsu.
The artwork has been improved, but
yeah. I was going to say this is kind of like a Bakumatsu era kind of deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, Rurouni Kenshin and The Last Blade, because like the guy that I'm looking at in the picture, he looks like Shin Sengumi.
That's interesting. That's a good point. Dungeon Buster says, can't wait for Bravely Default. Difficulty music mode option ages. So there you go.
I'm willing to bet that this is like their last chance at making a Bravely Default game before they go back to Nintendo console, because the last two didn't sell well.
Yeah.
Right. I thought Bravely Default 1 sold really well. That's why they made
one didn't, but the second one did so terribly.
Oh, that sucks. Because apparently, like, everyone loved the games. Everyone who played them was just like, it's Final Fantasy. It's like classic Final Fantasy again. It's like, if you like Final Fantasy, then, you know,
No, I think what happened was that initial sales were okay, but the Japanese public didn't really take to it that well.
That's really surprising.
Who the hell do they think they are?
Sorry. I know, but like from everything I heard, like the American
and that probably like RPG, resulted in you know, less players. Sales. So
yeah, but I think like the American playing public really seemed to take to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They might still bring them over. I mean, Bravely Third still trademarked, so they're gonna have to do something with it if they want to renew it later.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I mean, it'd be nice if you could at least get like a decent trilogy out of it.
Probably making this mobile game just to recoup costs. Yeah.
I hope there's more to it than that, but you were saying...
Yeah, Frank. Dungeon Buster says Andromeda Beta signups are also up, so all you PC guys, Andromeda's up.
Yeah, for multiplayer, who cares?
You mean Mass Effect Andromeda? Well, I mean, it would be nice to see like how they've revamped the combat, but beyond that, I'm not personally interested.
Yeah. I am very interested have because a single, Mass Effect is awesome and you
single
guys are
player
haters.
Game only. So they could concentrate on just making
did
a really
good
Did
you say you
player.
Guys are idiots, Break?
No, I said haters.
Oh, haters.
I did not say idiots.
No, I don't hate it. Like, I'm just not interested in the multiplayer. It's just not my thing.
Yeah,
fine. I'm still calling Eric and Frank haters.
I'm just hater. Disappointed like, that bear it's in mind, not like, G since I, 2.
Oh, fuck off. Sincerely, fuck right the hell off. All the way. No, Eric, all the way off. Fuck all the way off.
Hey, if you could see up into the sky, like way, way, way up into the sky.
You see that dot right there?
Yeah, you see it?
That's that really bright one. Yeah. That's Polaris. You can fuck all the way off there.
No, I was going to say, this is rock bottom. And we've just reached it. All right.
Nice.
Let's move on. Eric, next story, please.
Also, I have to say is that if they make it like Inquisition, I think we're in business.
Yeah. All right. Next story.
Oh, you mean like Dragon Age Inquisition?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did kind of combine the best of both worlds for that. But yeah, anyway, continue on. Who's next?
Eric, next story, please.
Eric.
Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force coming to PC via Steam early 2017.
All right.
When I read this, I swear it said summer, so they fixed it. It's like, wait a minute, yeah. That can't be right.
Wait, hang on. Are we talking the site which must not be named or Gematsu?
Gematsu.
Silicon Era doesn't. Yeah, I was gonna say Silicon Era doesn't edit their articles ever. It's like you're like you've missed like. This article is entirely factually wrong. It'll work. That is like their entire journalistic intent. It's like whatever we can get up there to get clicks is basically how they work.
Yeah. All right. So what are the features of this game, Eric?
Well, I'd want to say that this version of the game kind of completely makes the original Steam version obsolete, in a manner of speaking. I mean, there are benefits to playing the original one. Like, if you don't like the idea of having all six party members in your group at once, then you could play the original and just stick with three characters at a time and swapping the yellow ones out.
All right.
I mean, there are more than six characters in the game, but for the most part, the campaign consists only of those characters. And I think the only other characters you could swap out at that point are, like, the DLC characters.
Right. Anything else on that game, guys? All right, Breakman, you're up.
There are three new endings with like three different scenarios, but the game also requires you to. They're actually harder, and they're mainly meant for New Game Plus.
All right. Anything else, Eric?
You have to go a roundabout way of doing it too. Like you have to. It depends on the. Furies that you pull out of the goddesses and evil god.
All right, let's move on to the next story. Breakman, please.
Coming to us live from Gematsu, Dark Rose Valkyrie coming west in spring 2017. That's vague. Dark Rose Valkyrie released as Black Rose Valkyrie in Japan. It's called Dark Rose here. Black Rose, I don't know why
I don't get why they would change that. Black roses are a real thing.
Yeah.
Were they afraid they'd offend black people or something by calling?
That's what I'm guessing. That's the only reason I can think of why they would change that.
That sounds like somebody.
Black rooms, just like actual things.
Yes, they are an actual thing. Like the traditional, like you know how there's a the traditional is like you give a white rose to show friendship, a red rose to show love, and a black rose. If you give a black rose to someone, it's meant you wish them to die. That's like that's what the symbolism is.
That's a great idea. Anybody have the address to the White House?
Yeah, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Exactly. All right. What else on this?
So anyway, there's a story, but I know you want to get to other stuff. So
yeah, you could do the key features, man. We do the bullet points, man.
All right. Key features: take the fight into overdrive. Characters can transform into their stronger split personalities mid battle. I like that they're split personalities, but be strategic. Too many transformations will lead to fatigue and mental breakdown, I'm guessing. Customize combos, customize attacks for each character, and do more damage with riot combos. A traitor amongst you, depending on your choices, one team member will betray you.
Oh my God.
Find traitor and visual novel style interrogation sequences and change the game's ending.
I like that.
Spoiler alert! That's a lot more involved than the people who betray you in Lost Dimension, because that's a part of the gameplay and doesn't actually affect the ending, because the ending's going to be the same no matter what. But you, if the character lives, you get the opportunity just to get more background info on them.
What I'm getting out of this is that every single one of your support characters is basically Kane from Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah. Exactly.
To me, they're all guilty until proven innocent.
They're slinking, that's what.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really cool idea. I like this. This sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, it actually sounds kind of interesting. I don't know if it's really the kind of game I'd be into, but
the artist for this game is the person that also did the artwork for Tales of Symphonia.
Yeah.
I might kill my entire team just to be safe.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says...
Is that wrong? I'm just
Yeah, exactly.
It might be considered a little hasty.
Dungeon Buster says after he finished Dragon Age 2, he asked himself, what the fuck happened to BioWare? And I told him that's exactly how I felt after that shitty game. I was like, you guys did so great with Dragon Age, and now
what if this. Dragon Age 2 was... something they made where they were all high or drunk.
Well, no, it's like what happened with Dragon Age 2 was that it sucked. Oh shit, this game was Dragon Age was a surprise hit, and we need to turn out a sequel really quickly.
Yeah.
So, and I honestly think that, I mean, I enjoyed Dragon Age 2. I mean, don't get me wrong, it had its problems.
Oh my God.
But I enjoyed it for what it was. And
Mug, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there.
No, you may
fuck
no,
off. Fuck the sir, fuck the right sir, hell off all the way
not
off.
Stop
Mug.
Me right there.
All right,
I'm
Mug.
Going to have my
Mug. I'm looking up. I'm looking up at rock bottom, right? And I'm looking up in the sky, and I see rock bottom from way down where I'm at. And now I'm at true rock bottom after playing Dragon Age 2.
Oh, fuck off! All the way off. But no, it's like I liked the characters. I thought the story was neat. I mean, I kind of like if it had been a side story, it might have been more interesting, just because it was like more engaged around a smaller area, telling a smaller story in a larger universe kind of deal. Mm. But I think that if they'd had more time and able to put forth more resources into it, the biggest problem I had with it was the reuse of areas. It's like there wasn't enough content to spread over the story that they were telling.
Oh my God. I remember playing that game and like Dungeon Buster, he was like what the fuck did I just play, man? Like to me, that's how I felt after playing that game. I almost felt like dirty in a way, and I had to get like back in my comfort zone with some Dragon Quest and some Final Fantasies and shit, man. I'm like, I agree with you guys though. The environments and the dungeons were like the same over and over and over again. It was so, I don't know. To me, it was like the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the characters, like the characters like Meryl and Fenris and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I liked your supporting cast. And Varric, I thought, was a fantastic addition. but there was a lot, you know, and I freely concede that it had its issues, but I enjoyed it in spite of its issues.
Oh my God. How can you enjoy that shit show, man? That was an awful game, man. I remember when that came out, it was before you were on the show, I believe, Mug, yeah, and, holy fuck, did I rail against that game, man. That was like an ongoing
I'm sure you did the same way you rail against Kickstarter and Trains, and it's the same old
we could
shit.
Talk about Trains, man. Sure. No worries. Yeah.
We have more important shit to talk
train
about.
Starter.
Yeah, train starter. Fuck off, Eric. You son of a bitch. All right, Eric. Actually, let's
sir,
go.
Sir, Eric, sir, I salute you.
Shit. I looked up. Never mind. Anyways. Mug, next story, please.
All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu. Yeah, that rumor that you kept hearing, the Nintendo was like, no, that's not true. It's fucking true. This is from Gematsu. The production of Wii U hardware will soon come to an end in Japan, Nintendo's official website reveals. Big fucking shock. You just announced your next hardware
product. Yeah, I know. That's not shocking.
And the previous one basically tanked. The Splatoon set Wii U and premium set Wii U models, the only two available.
If your Wii U gamepad breaks,
can I please finish my sentence, sir, without being interrupted? Thank you very much, sir. The only two available Wii U models in Japan, Freak 5 Chaos, take a goddamn drink, are listed on Nintendo's official website as ending production soon, in parentheses, Japanese domestic, with source being Games Talk.
What are you going to say, Eric?
It doesn't say here, but it's also ending in North America.
Yeah, I was going to say, what were you going to say, Eric, before Mug rudely interrupted you?
I know, as I rudely interrupted Eric talking over what I was saying.
This is no surprise. I mean, come on. I'm just wondering,
I'm just saying, now if your gamepad breaks, then you're kind of fucked.
And that actually is the really shitty thing about this. And like, I know that the Wii U has its fans.
I know
and
people it's just, that have gamepads like that have.
But I mean, like, there's so much of the Wii U's functionality is wrapped up in that gamepad that if it breaks, if you can't fix it or replace it, you may as well toss the whole damn system. Yeah. That sucks. I never got a Wii U. I might see about getting, you know, like a little further down the line, I might see about getting one once they, you know, the prices drop.
There's
a few games that
they're not making anymore. You're going to run out of choices every day.
They'll
you
drop
it. Now still, you probably won't get
games that he has never played will be new to him.
I mean, I've seen stuff like the Game Grumps playthrough, their short playthrough of Devil's Third was fucking hilarious. And man, like, I wouldn't mind playing Bayonetta 2 and like some of Platinum stuff, like the Wonderful 101 and that kind of thing. But it's like, it's not a system. I didn't get it because it wasn't a system that's like, I don't really see anything on here that makes me want to play it.
Yeah, there's plenty to play on it.
I didn't get it because it takes money, and the only games that really play on it are Mario games that, you know, I can't really play with other people.
I wonder what it would take to get Wii U emulation on the PC.
I really, really wish that they would have come out with a Metroid game on the Wii U. That would have been really cool.
If they had, because that's the thing. Like, you know, generally speaking, ever since 1996, when the Nintendo 64 came out, you know, you buy a Wii U if you want to play you buy a Nintendo console if you want to play Nintendo's games, and for me, it's like, I like Zelda, I enjoy Zelda, but it's not a system seller for me.
That's interesting. It's definitely a system seller. That's why I got it.
But Metroid for me is a system seller. That and the Twin Snakes are the two primary reasons that I got a GameCube at all.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that, man. Is there anything I'm missing on the Wii U, Dungeon Buster, or you guys in general? Like, because I got all the Marios, I got the Zeldas, you know, what did I get? Zombie U, which was decent, had some good ideas. If I'm missing anything, you guys let me know, because
I think you're done with it and you should just send it to us.
Seriously, Frank, if you like the... if you like the spectacle fighters, like the Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, that kind of thing, I would recommend picking up Bayonetta 2 because it includes the original with it.
Yep, I got one. I do have that.
But yeah, I mean, because that's two apparently like really solid and enjoyable games for the price of one. So, I mean, like Bayonetta 1 never really clicked with me, but I was like, I'd be willing to give it another shot. But it's like, I don't really know of any other things. Like, I would, if I had a Wii U, I would be much more likely to get the new Zelda on that. And, you know, short of seeing some really spectacular games that I'm just like, ooh, I've got to get that. I couldn't see buying it.
Which makes me wonder why they're even cutting production now. Yeah. They could have at least waited until that game launched.
I think
you
Switch.
You would think so. But, I mean, I think it's a lot of it comes down to, I mean, the Breath of the Wild is coming out in what, like 7 months or something
Want more copies to sell on the Switch, so they're going to force people to get one.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something they're hoping for.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's fine. I don't have any issues with that. Just like I don't have any issues with this. This comes to us from Gamatsu. Final Fantasy series brand manager on Final Fantasy 16 and X3, 13 series sales and more.
Wait. X10-3.
Or 10-3.
Like, yeah, making 10-3.
They're making a third?
No, they're considering it.
Mm. Okay, right. From the plot of the... Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's a third one? Like, that's really not a story that needs to be told. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, yes, continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right. Here's some tidbits. Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, has no date on that. Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8. Jesus fucking Christ, man. How many more 2.8? Whatever of Kingdom Hearts.
Well, remember, they're doing that until three.
they're only doing it for one reason.
Yeah, remember, there's also that PS4 re-release that basically has the PS3 remasters, everything packed into one, into one game or into one package. Mm-hmm. So I mean, and that's that'll be cool. It's like especially if they're selling the entire thing for $60, you basically get the entire Kingdom Hearts saga, in 60 frames per second for that. I was like, okay. Yeah.
It's actually just 1.5, and then
I know, but they've got it's four games and two movies, basically what you're looking at.
All right,
the whole thing.
Yeah. All right. So, Final Fantasy VII remake, we've all been eagerly anticipating that. I've been anticipating that for a while. I'd like to see an updated visual Final Fantasy.
I'm curious. Yeah. I'm not anticipating it, but I am very curious.
I am. I'm good with that.
As for 10-3, I don't know if a game with the plot of the basic conceit of the extra bonus drama where Tidus dies because he kicks a blitzball that's actually a bomb, and Sin comes back.
Yeah.
Do you want a game based on that plot?
Are you serious? Is that really what it's about?
Well, that's what happens in it. A couple of things happen.
I loved 10-2. Like the story was completely ridiculous, but the gameplay of it was some of the best the series has ever seen.
Yeah, 10-2 was an underrated game.
I love the combat in that game.
Yeah, 10-2 was definitely an underrated game, man. It took me a while to get into it.
The plot could be that he dies and they bring him back and kill Sin again forever.
Yeah. I know, right. But it's just like, to me, that smacks of like Final Fantasy IV, the after years. It's like, let's just retread the same plot over again. People won't notice. Like,
that's pretty much every Final Fantasy in existence, pretty much, man.
I mean,
it sounds like bad fan fiction. That's what the.
But yeah, like, did you ever play the After Years? I mean, they didn't make any new sprites. Yeah. Like you literally go through the same areas.
Aside from the original characters.
Yeah, it's like all the same monsters and all the same music. Yeah, but it's like all the monster sprites are all the same. It's all the same areas, all the same music, and to a large extent, mostly the same plot. And it's just like, oh god, it's such a wasted opportunity.
The final dungeon is basically just a boss rush.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's
like all past Final Fantasy and bosses.
Yeah. Let's move on. Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 16. And then there's a video there, so check all those out, I guess. It sounds interesting, so there you go. All right.
But they're also contemplating more 13 games. No, please. Kill 13.
Yeah. Mug.
Haven't we suffered enough?
I know.
Anyway, moving right along. Coming to us live from Gematsu.com. Desire remaster version announced for PS Vita and PC. The latest issue of Weekly Famitsu reveals this to be the case. It is due out on April 27th, 2017 in Japan. The visuals are being digitally remastered using the original images from the SS version of Desire as its base. Mm-hmm. Eyes and mouth animations, as well as various production during event scenes not seen in the original PC version, have also been added. A remastered version of Dokoku Soshite is also planned for release.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, more XIII games? Why? And I agree. We agree, Dungeon Buster, for sure. All right, break. Next story, please.
So is that how you refer to the game, XIII?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if this Desire will, on the PC version at least, will have an adult version to go along with it.
Really? Tell me more.
It is an arrow gay.
All right. Break.
I wanted details and like drawings and stuff.
Drawings.
Come to us live from Gematsu. Compile Heart announces Gun Pixies for PS Vita.
Gal Gun.
Well, no. It says Gun Gun.
It says Gun Pixies for PS Vita.
Oh, wait. Maybe it is.
No, it's definitely Gun. I'm looking farther into the story. Compile Heart's Countdown website launched last week as a new PS Vita game called Gun Pixies. It didn't get key online previews revealed. Developed by Shade, the studio behind Bullet Girls. I like the title. I like the name of the company. Gun Pixies is a gun action adventure game set in a woman's dormitory.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Stop. Take a breath, settle yourself, and then continue.
To save their mother's star from crisis.
They're aliens. Stars can be a planet, by the way, you know.
Okay. To save their mother's star from crisis, two dwarf alien girls must infiltrate a certain woman's dormitory on Earth. The main visual is illustrated by Katsuyuki Hirano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Katsuyuki Hirano. Yes,
who is known for his work on
Record. Very good.
No, Breakman got it right. Don't listen to what he said. You got it right.
No, I'm not giving him a hard time. I'm saying he got it. He was very close for just kind of feeling his way through it. He did a very good job.
and then I scrolled down and looked at the pictures and yeah. Wow. What I was expecting. Here you go, Chatters. Have fun with this one.
What I hear about this game, Bullet Girls, it's very terrible third-person shooter with Moe in it.
I think it has nothing to do with shooting at this point.
Yeah. No, this game is a shooter. It has gun action.
I know, but I don't think that's the point.
It has gun action and a specific type
fan
of shooter.
Fan service.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust me, when people play this, there will be some shooting going on. It may not be on screen, but it may if it's been a while. So
they call that erotic violence, man. Erotic violence.
I was just so they call that amazing. I don't know, like unless they're like on top of the television, like that's. I'm impressed.
All right, Mug. Next story, please.
Coming at us live from Gematsu.
My God, dude. What is with your game show host voices today?
I don't know, dude. I'm just running with it. And this one's actually kind of cool, and I hate that it's only going to be for one system. Inti Creates and Sunsoft announced Blaster Master Zero for 3DS. The 1988 NES title returns in Inti Creates developed follow-up. This is not just a port of the original.
Oh, nice.
Inti Creates, in partnership with Sunsoft, has announced Blaster Master Zero, a new title for 3DS due out in spring 2017 that uses the original NES title as its base. Here's the full rundown. This is worth going into. Okay. At their first 20th anniversary Fan Fest event held in Ichikawa, Japan, Inti Creates announced that they will be releasing a new game titled Blaster Master Zero that will be released on the Nintendo 3DS eShop in spring 2017. They acquired the license to the original Blaster Master game released for the NES in 1988 by Sunsoft and began work on a new title for the series. Using the original as a base, Inti Creates is setting out to create a fully 8-bit experience in a way that both harkens back to the golden age of the NES and uses the current generation hardware to optimize and power up the game for the players of today. This, of course, includes new areas and bosses and new gameplay elements such as extra sub-weapons, improved gameplay when battling outside of your Sophia third tank, a more robust scenario, refined and expanded exploration mechanics, and more. Everything is starting again from, quote-unquote, zero. So stay tuned for more Blaster Master Zero announcements coming soon. And essentially what it looks like, I mean, they've shown something where they've shown like a widescreen shot. It looks like the original NES graphics, but it looks like they're touching up the visuals. They're adding, they're like fleshing out the story, which was originally basically nothing.
Especially nothing in the original Japanese version.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was literally nothing in the original.
The original wasn't even called Blaster Master Zero, but... I'm amazed that they're using the Blastmaster name for this product. Because I'm assuming they're launching in both the U.S. and Japan.
Yeah, but it's also the Blastmaster name also has some nostalgic appeal, and they're obviously going for that. Yeah. But it's if you never played Blastmaster,
Japan, so you, them I'm, using here is interesting. I know, but
these are. May I finish?
Yeah.
Mm. But if you look at the original, I mean, if you've never played the original, it was kind of revolutionary for its time. You had these two very distinct gameplay styles, three if you count just like running around outside the tank and, you know, in the side-scrolling view. But if they're doing all this new stuff to it, I mean, it's essentially like this, you know, kind of like you see these definitive editions of, you know, modern like remastered titles where they add a bunch of stuff to it. Like if you look at like the Ninja Gaiden Sigma. On the PS3, like they took the original Xbox version and added a bunch of neat stuff to it, added a couple weapons and, you know, some new areas and that kind of thing. It's basically something like that, where except they're doing it with an NES title, which I'm not sure we've actually seen before. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, I was like, it makes me think like, wow, this if I had a 3DS, this is something I would want.
Just hope it's not as hard.
You know? There was a Blastmaster for the Game Boy Color that was. Completely different game, and then there's one for PlayStation, and then there's one for the
I don't
Wii
know about,
where
there was I don't know about that I don't know about all those I think there was one for the Genesis that was apparently awful.
Yeah, that one too.
I like the music in it. Are you guys listening?
Oh yeah. I remember. I was never good at that game. It had the greatest, it had the best glitch of all time, though. Because if you use like your grenades, if you paused while the grenade was exploding, it would continue registering damage on the enemies, which was a massive help during some extremely fucking difficult boss fights.
Yeah.
The only thing that was really bad about that was if an enemy used an explosive against you and you accidentally paused while it was registering on you, it would do the same thing to you. Mm-hmm. So it was very much a double-edged sword.
You get what you deserve.
Yes. I mean, it was very much a double-edged sword. But yes, Blaster Master is a classic that not enough people played. I'm actually pretty stoked to see this.
Yeah, it's a great game. All right,
there's no reason to assume that it won't come to PC because Gunvolt did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And if you look at if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can see like some of the updates they're doing, and it looks like, you know, it looks like the original with some upgrades, like a little bit of graphical tweaking here and there.
Things that actually make the game not bullshit, because that's what made it difficult. There's just some design flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some
control issues. Like most NES games, it was brutally hard.
Yeah, it was really hard game. No question. No question that game was.
But it wasn't it was hard, but it was still really good. So like that was it's kind of like the original Ninja Gaiden. Like it was difficult mostly due to bullshit, but it was still a great game.
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. I remember Ninja
Gaiden. I will fight you. I will fight you, and I will beat you in the goddamn Brown
Sword. I love the original Ninja Gaiden. It's the third one I hate.
Are you looking up, Frank?
Frank gets trauma because of Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, my God, dude. Seriously. Are you looking up?
I remember that bird on, like, what was it, level 6? That bird scarred him for life.
Exactly. And I know the funny thing is, I know exactly which bird you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually managed, I think I've said this before, in my heyday, I've only ever managed to do this once. I beat the original Ninja Gaiden on a single life.
Oh, nice.
I could never do it again.
Well, I told you.
I will never be that good at that game again.
Well, I told you guys about
I could do the same thing on Ninja Gaiden 2 much more easily.
I told you guys the
time.
With
a little bit of practice, I could probably get there again.
I told you guys the time that I beat, what was it, Ghosts and Goblins on like 2 quarters. Like, I literally beat that game on 2 quarters one time. I'll never be able to do that again, but, you know.
That's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. I have no, because I tried playing it on the consoles and I was like, first level, dead. I'm like, Jesus Christ, how was I so good back in the day? Well, whatever. Let's move on. Let's go with Mug. Next story, please.
Let's see. We were just talking about
Blaster Master.
Blaster Master. Okay. Wander the Rio. Yeah, okay.
Sexual innuendo and title.
Wait, hang on. I think I lost my. Okay, never mind. I found it. Action RPG Wanderer: The Rebirth will have you. Sorry, Wanderer: The Rebirth will have you hunting colossal monsters. And it looks very much like a monster hunter clone.
Yeah.
Olympus is under attack from Titans when the Earth Goddess calls upon a single hero, tasking him with fighting his way to a strange island that will bring peace to the raging war in Wanderer: The Rebirth. And you have to say it that way, or else we'll hunt you down and attack you.
Yeah.
Wanderer: The Rebirth is an action RPG designed around fighting and hunting large beasts, whittling them down on your journey to the island. Players can battle these monsters alone or with a friend in co-op. That's always cool. Using varied abilities and careful dodging in order to defeat the gigantic, unique creatures that stand in the way. What's interesting in hearing that, it makes me think of like the design of the multiplayer of the Dark Souls and Bloodborne games. The developer R also at work optimizing the game for VR, allowing players to experience hunting monsters on various VR devices as well as PC. Wanderer: The Rebirth is raising votes on Green Steamlight. Remember that one, break? But lists no expected release date.
Yeah.
It looks really rough around the edges. Like, visually, the screenshots that they have, it looks like a PS2 game.
Yeah, I was going to tell you guys. It actually looks like late gen PS1.
Budget Hunter.
Yeah, it's
no. I mean, it's like I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, yeah, it's like that. You know, there's people say like, oh, it looks like a PS1 game. It's like, no, like
no, I like, don't know. There's what a PS1 game looks like.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's gonna say there's no way that a PS1 could render anything remotely like that on its best day. That's PS2 graphics.
You know what's really annoyed me back a couple of years ago was the people complaining about the graphics for Epic Mickey. It looks like a PS2 game. That's because the game was literally put on the Wii first.
Yeah. All right.
The Wii isn't far removed from a PS2. It's like they were talking about the PS4 version.
Yeah. All right. Final story of the day, guys. This comes to us from the website that shall not be named. Meet deadly opposition on the way to Grandma's house in this fairy tale action RPG. Red is a
Grandma's house we go.
Red is a retelling of the Red Riding Hood fairy tale, only with much more violence, monsters, and evil grandmothers. The side-scrolling action RPG casts Red as a battle-ready warrior using her scythe. Is that how you say that? I never know how to say that. Sith?
S-C-Y-T-H-E?
Yep.
It's scythe.
Scythe. Okay, so I said it right. To cut her way through a variety of huge monsters. She won't have to fight alone. She won't have to fight alone, as she'll be joined by Vermilion and Camellia, each with their own fighting styles and weaponry. The game does not precisely follow the original tale, as it soon...
You think?
Yeah. as it soon becomes apparent that Grandma will be a danger as well, and Red and her allies will have to join the monsters to help rescue the girls that the old woman has placed in danger. So it's an interesting concept. Red is the work of 3 university students and will be free to play upon release. It's already been greenlit for Steam. So there you go.
Yeah. By the way, just like, you know, Vermilion is a color. It's like a deep, like crimson, scarlet kind of thing. Yeah. Camellia is a type of flower.
Oh, look at that. Not dropping some knowledge.
This is also a game that's being made by Chinese developers.
Yeah. All right.
I actually find that really interesting to play games that are not from like either like a Western developer or a Chinese or from a Japanese developer, to play like something from China, or there's some like you see some indie games from like Argentina.
It's
or
definitely
like
influenced
that.
By anime though, looking at the artwork.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but it's like, you know, Chinese games and Japanese games are very different beasts. Like, there's a lot of similarities, but a lot of subtle differences that's just like, yeah, this is not your average JRPG kind of deal.
Yeah. Or like the Metro games, for sure, from Russia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like, there's, yeah. You know, you see, like, there's obvious influences from Western, you know, like spectacle, you know, AAA, you know, game design, but it's like, it's, there's this weird kind of reservation about it. Like, it's not just about, like, they, you know, let's, you know, there's a kind of, like, especially with the Metro games in particular, it's like, there's a very a real sense of oppression. Because I remember when I played a little bit of Metro Last Light,
that's a great
it reminded, yeah, yes, it is. It reminded me a lot of Riddick, of, you know, the Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Butcher Bay.
Oh, Butcher Bay was a great game, man.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game, and it still is.
Isn't Dark Athena basically just Butcher Bay?
Yeah.
With other stuff in it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it actually, Dark Athena includes Butcher Bay, like the full game. So, but the thing is, I remember when I played through Butcher Bay on Xbox, like, I got so into that game that it was just like, every time I saw a fluorescent light, I wanted to shoot it out. I was like, you know, I just got so into that game. And it's like, and Starbreeze Studios, who made Butcher Bay, they went on to create The Darkness, which is another fantastic game. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've never played, like, dig that up on PS3 or Xbox 360, because it was never released on anything else. Yeah. But really, really good game. Really deserves your time. Yeah. You can get it for like $3.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to homie discounts real quickly. Bloodborne's on sale on the PSN anniversary sale for either 25 or 20, probably if you have Plus.
PS Plus.
And then there's some other less RPG offerings on there, so check that out. And Time has a story about how the Nintendo 3DS is going to be a Black Friday deal for $100. Anybody know if that's going to be the new 3DS or just the old 3DS? Because
I don't think they sell the old one anymore.
All right, cool. So that's actually a good deal. $100.
I mean, there are probably some in some stores, but I think they ended production a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, and that version of Bloodborne is completing. It includes the Old Hunters DLC, which is really
good. I don't have the Old Hunters. Really cool. I bought the vanilla one on sale for like $40.
The Old Hunters DLC is on sale as well. I can't see the price because I've already purchased it. But if you're looking for it, if you're, you know, this would probably be a good time to check it out because it is really good. But it's really hard.
I can't afford to really buy anything until payday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like it's still ongoing until next Tuesday because like they're doing the it's an anniversary sale, so they're doing it like in multiple weeks. So they're probably going to do 4 weeks of sales. So if you get money before Tuesday, I guess then you might want to.
I won't get paid until Friday.
All right. Any Twitter questions, Breakman?
I'm not looking on Twitter. Sorry. Not until for like another week at least. I'm staying away from Twitter. It's a dangerous place.
We'll stay away from Twitter this week. All right, Thief to Not the Thief. I don't know who put this in here, but let's go with it. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I am going to pass on that one. What about you, Mo?
Hey, would you steal a game called Gorby?
Yeah.
It's literally a game about Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah, I'd steal that for sure.
In the 80s.
All right, Mug, what about you, man?
I would if I didn't have it already and I wasn't already thoroughly in love with the game, I would definitely steal it because Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is a really great game that doesn't get enough love.
You like those shitty games like that, man.
I feel like
it's not a shitty
the
game.
End of that
dude.
Game is somehow an homage to World of Metal Wolf Chaos because you fight the president.
Nanomachines, son. No, you're not fighting the president. You're fighting a senator. Dude, it plays really well. It has like all the weird hallmarks of a Hideo Kojima game. Because, I mean, it's like he didn't direct it himself, but he did oversee it. It was done with his consultation. The gameplay is really fast and fun. And shut the fuck up.
Breakman, are you?
I just want you to know, Frank, that I hate you and all you stand for.
It wasn't me. I'm just laughing at it.
I don't believe that for a second.
Are you kidding me?
Holy crap! Now, hang on. I do have to go on this little aside here about this game. The music is amazingly well done. I mean, like seriously, no bones about it. It's really, really good, and it's integrated really well with the gameplay. But what's funny about it is that it's basically like this, you know, these weird progressive, like socially conscious lyrics as written by a math teacher with absolutely no sense of poetry. It's weird. And it's awesome. It's just like, you know, musically, this is amazing. It's like, it's really intense. It gets you pumped up, this tech metal sort of stuff. And it's like, the lyrics are just like, yeah. It's like, and they rise as the sun comes up, you know, with their lives on the line. It's like, this is cool. And then you like listen closely to the lyrics. I'm like, holy crap, this is the most prosaic shit I've ever heard.
I'm still not, like, I still haven't played my copy on PC yet.
You really should, man. It is a lot of fun. And it's like, even the, like,
when I first tried playing it, my PC wasn't good enough. And I never got around to playing it on my other rig.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, they like the same thing like with the console versions, they dialed the graphics down enough to where you would get 60 frames per second 100% of the time. And I honestly think it was a wise choice because it really makes a difference in the game. It's a lot of fun. And it's like, it's short, but it has great replayability, and especially now, like, the game's a few years old and you can get a lot of mileage out of a few bucks to pick it up.
Yeah,
but all right, it's a lot of fun.
Breakman, you still in it, or are you?
What? Huh?
Are you still in Metal Gear Rising? Or
I'm reading in chat that Frank asked what was the arcade game that you had to shoot a lot of Mexicans. You were a cowboy and used a light gun. I have no idea. Like, what the hell?
I'm gonna say that's probably Mad Dog McCree.
Yeah,
because I don't think it's Lethal Enforcers 2 Gunfighters.
Or maybe it was that Sega Hologram game. You remember that one?
Oh my god, I hate that game. A bunch of
different stuff in it, though.
Yeah, it was so fucking hard. It was just like, this is a gimmick game that's designed entirely around you fucking up to and having to pay more quarters.
I remember it would have been a really cool idea if it wasn't so fucking expensive and hard to play.
Yeah,
like you literally die after with one move if you don't hit the button at the exact right moment.
No,
it was based on the Dragon's Lair template, man.
Yeah, I remember playing this one too, the Mad Dog McCree, but it's not the one. I'm thinking of one it's like cartoony graphics, sort of like a Metal Slug type deal where you're going
Sunset
around.
Sunset Riders.
I think that's it.
Awesome. That was
closer to being almost like a side scrolling brawler slash.
Yeah, I think that was a gun game. That was like
it wasn't a gun game. It's like you had your character on screen and you just kind of pointed in the direction you wanted to shoot and just kept tapping the button until you invented it. Essentially, yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. When I see it, I'll let you guys know. But
all the years blend together, don't they, Frank?
You could play as a Mexican who had a shotgun.
Well, same thing is the thing is, Break, when you're an elf and you live for longer than like 2,500 years. All the time just kind of tends to blur. You tend not to worry about the concerns of man.
I've called Frank a lot of things that I've never heard of as an elf before.
Fuck you, man.
Frank spends most of his time concerning himself with the intricacies of Sindarin. He's not worried about this.
You son of a bitch. You son, I'm walking off this goddamn show. All right, are you going to steal
another drink?
What?
No, he said Frank said he's walking off the show, so Freak has to take another drink.
Are you?
I have images of like Frank hanging out with Santa Claus now. Like,
fuck you, man.
You'll see what people don't know, guys, is that there was, you know, remember like there was the South Park guys did the Spirit of Christmas with Jesus versus Santa Claus, but there was another one before that. That was less well known, but you can still find it. But there's one before that, which has never been seen, which was Jesus versus Frank.
I won that match. I won that match. Obviously, I'm here talking to you guys today.
Okay, and it's like he basically fireballed you into space. I remember. Fireball. I know people.
This is shit.
Did he fuck right off of it?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck right off.
But did you fuck all the way off of it?
Hey, so Breakman, are you stealing it or are you leaving it there? Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
I've never played it, so I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, good choice, man. All right, what have you been playing real quickly? I want to go through this real quickly, guys, so we don't...
We still have a lot to cover.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover. So MPQ for me, I've had a shitty week, so that's all I got been able to play.
Eric, Prime Quest.
Yeah, Metroid Prime. I wish.
Wouldn't it be nice if that were a real thing?
That would be cool, man. I'd play that. Eric, what have you been playing, man?
I played more Yo-Kai Watch 2, a little bit of Valkyrie Bikuni, or Valkyrie Drive Bikuni. Got through most of Xanadu next, and I'm gonna finish that soon, hopefully. On Monday.
Yeah. How's Valkyrie Drive holding up on further play?
It's more or less just centered on Kagura, but different skin.
Okay, well, bearing in mind, I haven't played any of those games. The only Senran Kagura I've played is Burst.
I played initial level, so...
Yeah, so game, you know, on its own merits, how is Valkyrie Drive holding up? Because I'm curious about it, and I've been thinking about buying it.
If you don't mind the fan service-y stuff, it's a competent brawler, at least.
What would say it's worth paying for?
It's a Vita game, so that makes
Jesus
it...
Jesus Christ, what was that?
I think that makes it $40. So I'd say maybe 20 to 30 range.
Okay.
All right, what else have you been playing, Eric?
I played the PC version of Senran Kagura Bon Appetit for a little bit. I only played like 3 rounds. I think it's good enough because I already reviewed the PS Vita version, so all I have to do is talk about the port process, I guess. And it plays in 60 FPS, and that's actually much more helpful for being able to know when to hit on the face buttons or the D-pad.
Well, isn't Bon Appetit kind of a rhythm sort of game-ish?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, 60 frames per second.
That's why it's helpful, because the scrolling...
Yeah. All right, Eric, what else?
I had a problem with the Vita version because there was frame rate lag, and I kept messing up.
Yeah.
And this one also has all the DLC, which is why it's called Full Course. The vanilla version of the Vita game was like $15, but there's like a ton of DLC to make up for it. And some of the DLC include characters which have their own story in story mode, so they're all present now.
Yeah. All right. What else, Eric?
So it's actually a more complete game. And I played a little bit of Owlboy.
Right. Oh yeah. What'd you think?
It's a good game.
Yeah. It's like I'm not completely sold on the gameplay just yet, but it's like I like all the other aspects of it so much that, it's so fucking gorgeous to look at. But one of the weird things that kind of is throwing me about it, it's like I like the music, but I don't love the music. It's like compositionally, it's just fine, but it feels very bare bones. It's like the visuals are so lush and gorgeous to look at. The way I described it, I was talking to my friend Vince, who composed Flower, and I said basically it feels like I should be hearing the score to Skyward Sword as opposed to the original, Legend of Zelda.
Yeah,
it's like I want the same music, but it just like I want sweeping strings and powerful horns and all this other stuff. Just because
it feels misplaced considering the quality of the graphic detail.
Yeah, it's like it feels very minimal.
This is
compared to how lush the graphics are.
So why are you trying to make it sound like one?
Yeah, it's like it really looks like Metal Slug in HD, yeah. Like in terms of just how nice the visuals look.
Yeah. All right,
it's relatively speaking, it's a minor quibble because it's a really good game and you really should check it out. And I'm absolutely going to buy a copy when it hits PC, or rather, sorry, PS4.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Breakman, your games that you've been playing, man.
All same old stuff. But Record Keeper, Final Fantasy Record Keeper, I did get some more burst moves, which are awesome, and that makes me happy.
Cool. Awesome, man. All right, Mug, what have you been playing, man?
I actually hadn't been playing much until the last couple of days. I picked up a copy, finally got around to picking up a copy of the DMC Devil May Cry Definitive Edition on PS4. And I'm about like five missions into that. And I was like, I played through the original and I had a lot of fun with it. People consider me some kind of heretic for it. Anyone who hates DMC, go fuck yourself. It's a good game.
Well, there's a whole scene where the characters tell each other to fuck each other.
Yet another shitty game that Mug likes.
No, it's not a shitty game. People are basically pissed off because it wasn't DMC 3-2. And I'm sorry.
It's like, I don't think Frank liked that one either, though.
I'm not a Devil May Cry fan.
If you take it strictly on its own merits, it's smooth. The gameplay is responsive, and it has depth, and it has some of the best visual and level design in the entire previous generation. And if you can look at that game and show me like all the limbo shifting and all that kind of shit, and say like, "Whoa, that's not at all impressive," then it's like, okay, then I don't need to listen to your opinion because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, first I want to see you limbo before I can judge.
Mm-hmm. Not limbo. It's like you go into limbo and everything shifts around and it's weird and crazy and all this kind of crazy shit. All
right, what else?
But I kind of a whim, I was reading around stuff on Kotaku, and they had this article about this game on Steam called One Night Stand. Mm-hmm. It's this, basically conversation/adventure-ish sort of game, kind of an escape the room type game where you find yourself, like you wake up and you find that you've had a one night stand. It's like you see the girl and it's like, holy shit, what's going on there? I don't remember anything. And trying to piece together some events of what happened, and the way that you handle things determines how this encounter plays out. Like you leave, in the end, it's always going to end with you leaving in some way or some form or fashion. Mm. Like you either sneak out or you talk to her and everything goes okay. And so maybe you'll see each other again, or maybe you'll remain friends. Or maybe
do you get to reenact last night?
No, you don't get to reenact last night. But or maybe she'll get pissed off at you and throw you out because you'll call her by the wrong name or something like this. I mean, like, I played for about an hour, and it's like, and this was me replaying the game three times. And there's like 12 different endings. And it's just like, and I was just like, huh, this is interesting. And I had a little bit of money to spare, so I was like, I looked it up on Steam, and it was only $3. It's like, it sounds interesting, so it's only $3. I'll take the plunge and see what it's like. And as it turns out, I really liked it. It's interesting, and it's like it has this very muted sort of morning, like the kind of an impressionistic sort of look to the art style of it. Yeah. And these, very limited animations, but very natural looking. And it felt real and it felt human. And it's just like, it actually made me kind of emotionally connect with, like this girl who I'm supposed to, be interacting with, that it's like, I don't want to, I want to make sure this goes well, or at least like if I want to get out, I don't want to hurt her feelings. Essentially, it's like, so hopefully if the idea is to make you empathize with the character that you're supposed to be, then it did a great job. And
I like
so
that.
For $3, yeah. And so like for $3, yeah, I feel like I've more than gotten my money's worth out of it after an hour of play, and I'm not done. I want to see the other ending. I want to see how other stuff plays out.
So is it like more of an adventure game or a visual novel?
Definitely more of an adventure game. Like one of the first things you see, you're like, oh, you get woken up by your phone, buzzing.
What platform is this on?
PC. It's only on Steam. It's not checked GOG. It's not on that. But it's only $3. So I mean, it's easily worth plunking a few dollars. I mean, if you like if you like games that are built around kind of I don't want to say intimate encounters, but just like this emotional intimacy. It's like if you like that kind of game, then it's something I think you'll get something out of, because I certainly did. It almost, in some ways, it reminded me of the, and if you've ever played it, Analog, A Hate Story.
Yeah, I've heard of that game, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really, really good. But you're hearing these stories and you're just kind of trying to piece together events events of what happened last night based on information you receive at the time.
Yeah.
I got a lot out of it. I was surprised. It's like, I spent $3 and I was like, I spent an hour playing. It's like, I already feel like I got my money's worth out of it. So, but there's still more to find. So I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's weird, it's strained, it's awkward, like, you know, waking up the morning after a one night stand always is. But yeah, I really got something out of it. I enjoyed it. And also, like, this month's stuff, this month's free games on PSN were a little limited, but I played a few minutes of Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. I hadn't gotten, you know, gotten far enough into it to really make any kind of value judgments on it, but it's basically just like, yeah, this is something I started up, but I haven't really gotten into, so it's just worth
it. It's a walking sim. Isn't it made by the same people that made Firewatch?
The Chinese Room?
Well, you know, that's a different company. Never mind.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Stinkos. I hate to rush here, but we're not going to have time to talk if we keep going this route. Stinko of the Week, real quickly. Eric, I don't see anything there, so I'll skip over you. Breakman.
Well,
you...
we all have a Stinko this week, don't we?
Yeah. We do, but yes. Breakman, did you have anything in particular you want to talk about?
I was contemplating putting Eric. Nintendo Wii U on there, but okay. We decided against it.
Hold on. Go ahead, Breakman.
I mentioned was last week my dad was in the hospital and and he recovered and he was able to go home. Yeah. However, his doctors ruled that he cannot drive himself anymore.
Aww. Like ever?
Well, until he is, I guess, cleared, they said for 6 months, and we'll see after that point. But until then, he needs transportation to his three times a week doctors. Between my siblings, they are taking him the first couple days, and I'm taking him on Friday, which means I have to wake up at 4 a.m.
Wow. Is he doing okay?
Yeah, he's all right. It's his normal thing, but normally he's been able to drive himself. Now that he can't drive himself, it's dialysis. He has to go dialysis a few times a week, and he's always driven himself. There's never been a problem, but now that he can't drive himself, all of us siblings have to drive him, and we all have to.
Let me just say one thing, man. It's like when my father, when he had his heart troubles, and and the strokes, and it killed his ability to walk. I mean, he lost, you know, use of his legs and everything. If he's losing part of his independence, watch out for him, because odds are good he's going to be very depressed, and he's going to need you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't mean just in the sense of, like, he needs someone to, you know, to drive him to these things. You know, it's like he wants, like, I guarantee you, he wants to be able to, like, do, you know, like, whether he's, like, stubborn about wanting to go to the doctor or not. He wants to be able to take care of himself,
and if he can't do that, we've talked about this.
Yeah,
actually, we talked about this today.
Yeah, just, you know, look out for him, man, because he needs you, and he doesn't want to, but he's.
Yeah. All right.
But like I said, so that's waiting. Hopefully 6 months, and then hopefully he'll be able to drive again. But my fear between me and the siblings are. That they're going to tell him no. Yeah. So,
well, let's hope for the best, Breakman.
I'm definitely pulling for him and for you, man. I hope everything works out okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be fine. I'll be fine. I'm really just out of it from being up at 4 in the morning, and I'm a bit loopy, so I'm sorry for.
No worries, man. That's what we're here for, man.
And that was me kind of snoring before. Don't blame me. I'm sorry. That wasn't about you. That was me just, like, trying not to fall asleep.
It was totally about him. Come on, man. Let's just call it out as it is. Mug.
I was trying not to fall asleep, and I was trying to amuse myself, and sorry.
You fell asleep with Mug talking. That's fucking classic, man. Mug.
I didn't. I amused myself to stop myself from falling asleep. It didn't work. It's expensive. Sorry, Mario.
All right, Mug.
I blame Frank. All right. It's all Frank's fault.
It's always Frank's fault. But yeah, anyway, my Stinkos, I have a few, but the two that were specific to me.
I know there's that other thing, too.
Mm. Yeah, not the few that were specific to me and not to the country as a whole. My car is still not fucking fixed.
What? Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, man. I wish I weren't.
This is the third week.
Yeah, I trust me, I'm aware. And yeah, so it's getting, and you know, basically we're like, at this point, it's like, you know, this shit needs to be fixed this weekend or we're bringing the car back and you need to come up with the $1,500 to pay us back for it. So that's my adventure for the weekend. Also the death of Leonard Cohen, who was a fucking legend.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I saw that. God, I can't, my voice is so fucked up.
I also saw the Man from U.N.C.L.E. died today too.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that. It's like, I don't really have any particular attachment to that, so I don't really have anything to say. But it's like,
it was a good show. I liked
that guy. I didn't watch that show in particular.
What you doing here, boy?
Yeah, exactly. But he makes a really good villain. That guy. He was a really good villain. But all right.
Yeah, I mean, Leonard Cohen was. It's like. A lot of people, what's funny is like a lot of people didn't like Leonard Cohen's music when he sang it because they didn't like his voice. But he wrote one of the greatest songs ever written, and that's fucking Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm not a big.
I don't care who you are. If you don't like Hallelujah, then sorry, I can't take anything. I can't take your opinion on music seriously.
I think Frank was about to play that, wasn't he?
I was playing it. I'm not a big fan, but I realize the importance of that song. And, you know, my heart goes out to all the Leonard Cohen fans. I know how important he was. It's like when a Beatle dies, everybody feels it. I wasn't a huge Beatle fan either, which is blasphemous by most people, but... yeah, it's always sad to hear, man. 2016 could just go fuck itself, man.
What's funny is that Hallelujah is one of the most heavily covered songs ever. Yeah. It's like it's right up there with John Lennon's Imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't fuck it up like CeeLo Green did.
Oh, fuck him.
Yeah.
It's like we're all – and all religion's true. Fuck you.
Dungeon Buster says Robert Vaughn. Yeah, Robert Vaughn was the guy from
– The Man from U.N.C.L.E., yes.
He was a great villain in movies. I can't think of any off the top of my head. But all right, Mug, what's next, man?
All right. For me –
You went over Leonard Cohen, your car.
Yeah, I know. Well, the rest of it had to do with the election and some of the stuff surrounding it. Okay, so okay. I'll save that for when we do our bigger discussion.
I'm going to save mine, too. Mine is Giant Douche, but we will talk about that in a minute. Sweeto, bunch of marijuana measures passed, which is always good. Also, assisted suicide in, I think, Colorado, not just Denver. I put Denver, but I think it's
I didn't
Colorado.
See that. What? Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't see that either.
Cali can do we now.
Yeah, it was Measure 106 or Prop 106 or whatever that was. But it did pass. I voted for it.
That didn't get a lot on that. That didn't get any national news.
No. And it should have.
This is literally the first I've heard of it. So, I mean, suicide is now legal in Colorado?
Yes. Yes.
So, holy crap, man. That's amazing.
I will
that's genuinely fantastic.
Yeah.
Euthanasia. Woo.
It's not euthanasia, man. I mean, it's like it's just it's allowing someone. It's death with dignity. It's someone who's dying of like a terminal illness and does not want to go on like suffering through it.
Yeah.
Like yes, this person deserves to be able to do it without being persecuted for it.
I'm looking.
I've literally watched people die, and if you're dying slowly, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah. And like I guess the thing that puzzles me about this, like we allow this dignity to our animals, to our pets, but people are like, you know, oh, but not to humans. I mean, why? Because they have souls. No, they fucking don't.
And even if they did, so fucking what, man? That the soul,
and it's like, you know, if a person's suffering, if a person, you know, makes the honest, conscious choice, it's like if you want to have like a waiting period where it's like, so that someone just doesn't make like, I'm in a really bad place right this second, and I want it to end. Well, wait a week and say maybe you feel better in a week. I understand that, but like after a week or two, and you're still in this position, and it's just like I just want it to end. I don't want to suffer anymore. Yeah. Then it's like you can. It's like it hurts because it always hurts to let someone you care about go.
Yeah,
but you deserve to be able to die. Without pain.
Yeah.
What's going on, Frank? Why is your state like better than everyone else? What's going on here?
Well, that's why it's awesome that I'm moving there. Thank you very fucking much.
You're moving there?
It is.
Oh, wait. Yes. I'm sorry. I've had a very long day where I don't remember much of anything that's going on right now, or who I am, or where I'm at.
I'd just like to say, and I've said it again, that it's thanks to Frank that I'm going to be able to move there. Frank is an awesome friend. For all the shit that I give him, he is an awesome guy, and I appreciate it.
Don't give him a big head.
Yeah, don't tell me that, man. That's gonna make me feel good about myself this week. Which
we won't want that out. Don't worry, I'll give you enough shit to make up for it next week.
Trust me, this. Fuck you, Frank. Fuck yourself. Goddamn you, Frank.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you're still wrong. If it makes you feel any better, you're still wrong about Dragon Age 2, and Dragon Quest 8 is still the worst thing ever made.
Yeah, no, it is not.
How dare you get out of bed this morning? What the fuck
would you know? Like, what makes you think you have the right to be conscious?
Yeah, next. I mean, this week has been like fucking shit show for me, man. Like, it's just been one of the worst fucking weeks I can remember in like years, and it's
been a rough
fucking
week.
Awful, man. Just fucking awful. I'm glad I have the opportunity to come on Fridays, because I think, man, I'd be looking for one of these suicide assist doctors, man. Like, this week was it really took a toll on me, man, for more reasons than one. But I think we know one of the big reasons, but other shit just happened that I'm just like, God damn, man. Fuck this week. Fuck this year. Can't wait for...
Dude, something happened with your roommates?
No, but... it's just too much to get into. It's just too personal, man. I don't feel like talking about it on the air. All right. Let's see. We went through that. Let's go to... Do we do all the stinkos? I think we got through all the stinkos, sort of. And then now we're doing Sweetos. Okay, Moria, your Sweetos.
I'm finally done. As you guys know, my car was totaled. I'm finally done with insurance. Everything was processed. They got their title. They got the car. I got my money. All done. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. So awesome.
Good.
The other thing is, I've mentioned it before. I have an absolutely horrible phone. It's this crappy, like, the brand name is Blue, BLU. Never, ever, ever buy one of their phones. It's fucking terrible.
BLU?
And BLU, like Blue. It's like supposed to be bold like us. This is Chinese brand. It's terrible. Because my phone, it's like it stutters and it halts and apps just crash on it at random. And it gets worse the more stuff updates.
Yeah.
Because the more updated stuff gets, the more memory it takes. Like, the biggest thing I can point out to people is, like, it takes, from me starting up, it's like, I want to go to Maps so I can use the GPS function. From starting it up to actually being able to navigate to somewhere, it takes anywhere from 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's
and it runs crazy hot the entire fucking time.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, God, fuck this thing. But a friend of mine, the same guy I mentioned who composed Flower, he's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
He said, well, I just upgraded my phone. I've got a Google Nexus 5X that I'll sell to you. I was like, what do you want for it? $100? That sounds awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, this is like a $400 phone. And so I'm going to be getting that phone. He's, dropping it in the mail to me tomorrow. I've already paid him for it. And he's sending it to me. I was like, yes, I will have a good phone finally. And good. So, yes, I'm stoked about that. So,
I know where you can get
him. He hasn't been on the show yet because apparently he has a life. And Friday nights are not good for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he hasn't been on the show yet basically because I haven't asked him if he's like I've mentioned the show to him. It's like, would you be willing to do it? It's like, sure. I just haven't asked him like to be on a specific time.
Oh my God, that would be a great interview, man. I'd love that. Yeah, man, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, he is a very cool guy. I actually met him years and years ago on the Neo Geo mailing list during the 90s. Yeah. And it's like, and I was, and he was telling me, it's like, this was before he ever did any kind of professional stuff. I've actually got some of his old compositions that are just like, this is very much for private, private stuff. Do not distribute this. And I was like, holy crap. Like, some of the stuff sounds like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
And, and it's just like, damn, this is really, really cool, man. And I was just, I was always like, just seeing her, saying, don't ever give up on this. You've got a serious, I always told him, it's like, you've got crazy talent. Don't ever stop. And he's working as like audio engineer, like primary audio engineer at that game company.
Cool. Cool.
Which is
that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like, and you know, he worked with them before, but it's like he did the stuff for Flower, and I was like, dude, and it was weird because he's much younger than I am, and I was just, and I told him, it's like, I know this is gonna sound weird coming from me, but it's like, man, I'm really fucking proud of you, because I knew that you had the, I knew that you had it in you to make something of yourself using your musical talent, and you did it, and that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. All right.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah, that's really cool. We'll have to have him on pretty soon if I last the year or the next four years, man. All right.
You need to at least last the next year.
Man, I don't know.
I'm counting on you, man. I'm counting on you, man.
The rate that I'm going, Mug, man, seriously, dude. All right. Reviews. Eric, please do these quickly, man, because we got to get these election results out of the way, man.
Resident Evil Extinction. It was a whole lot of nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil Retribution was a whole lot of what the fuck's going on.
Oh God, Retribution is so goddamn bad.
The movie's terrible. I mean, it's set up like a fucking video game too. They're in this fucking undersea lab with like different sections that are different environments that are simulated environments, which they used in plot terms to sell scenarios to people as like an effectiveness for their bioweapons. And that's
funny is that if you look at Retribution and Extinction together, it really raises the question: did anything after the second movie even happen?
Those movies, every fucking one of those movies is a goddamn absolute.
I mean, it's like, what's weird?
Also, there's
clones everywhere,
even clones of people that aren't Mila Jovovich.
But okay, but let's like, if you look at it, it's like with Extinction, it's like I kind of enjoyed Extinction on its own merits because the idea behind it, like the scenario presented, was kind of interesting. And it was just like
almost a Road Warrior movie, but.
Well, no. What I mean is more specifically about the clone thing. It could have been this interesting think piece about if a clone. It's like if you have this perfect clone of someone who's. Hang on, no, I'm serious here. If you think about this, like this, you create this perfect clone of somebody. It's kind of a spinoff of the transporter problem. It's like you disintegrate someone in this location and recreate them in this portion. But what if the original doesn't get destroyed? And it's like, and if it's the same person. Is the clone sentient? Is it a real person? It has all the thoughts and all the memories and all the emotions of the original. And it's like, it could, like, basically, it's like if it hadn't been Paul W.S. Anderson, hack that he is.
Dude, you know, I'm writing
these movies about. Also,
Leon's in the movie and he's totally trying his best to be Leon.
He really is.
I'm still laughing at Mug saying that a Resident Evil.
I thought it was funny that Barry looked like an Asian, though.
I'm still laughing at Mug.
I
mean,
it's like, and I know it's. No, the thing is, that, Frank, I know where you're going, and I know it's silly, but it's weird. It's like I look at it.
So it's the worst Resident Evil movie ever. They should never kill off Barry.
But it's like I see the seeds of a much better movie. It's like this could have been a much better movie if it hadn't been about if it hadn't been Resident Evil.
Also, oh my God. Chris and Claire were dumped right at the beginning of the movie, and they never find out what happened to them.
And I guess, you know what really pisses me off about those movies almost more than anything else? It's like, he always ends on these massive cliffhangers, like, shit, everything's coming our way. How will we ever survive this? Then he resolves it in the first 2 minutes of the next movie, and then we just go to a completely different scenario.
I think Rotten Tomatoes got these ones right, man. I'm looking at the scores. Resident Evil 33%. Resident Evil Retribution 31%. Resident
Evil Extinction 22%. Why is he here?
Resident Evil Extinction 22% and Resident Evil Afterlife 23%. Man, they're just awful movies. Man, they're just fucking
junk. Trust me. They are bad movies, and I recognize them as bad movies. But see, the thing is, I enjoyed Resident Evil 1 just for being kind of a slightly offbeat.
Also, it had been so long before since I saw Resident Evil Apocalypse, and the fact that she only had a brief cameo and appearance, and I basically don't remember anything from Afterlife.
Yeah. I mean,
Jill Valentine's in this movie. It's like, was she in the previous movie? Oh, I guess she was.
She was in Apocalypse, but it's like, Apocalypse is a fucking terrible movie. There's no two ways about it.
There was a character in Apocalypse that was dressed like Jill from Resident Evil 3.
I do remember that. But it's like Extinction, I thought was interesting, not as a film in general, but just like, oh, wow, there are some neat ideas here that could be explored far better in the hands of a different director and not under the banner of Resident Evil.
I'm going to give it a 4 and a 3.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, let's move on.
All right.
But Warcraft.
Yeah.
It's a Warcraft movie. And I guess you could say it's mediocre, but it's not bad. It's just, it does what it needs to, I guess.
From what I've seen, it's like if you're into the series and you like and you just basically want to see all your characters that you like
before Warcraft, this is it.
Yeah, so it's like if you wanted to see all these characters that you've seen stuff about in the games, then this is it. If you don't know anything about the movies, or rather about the game, or its lore or anything, then you'll be completely lost because this movie does nothing to explain anything.
A lot because I didn't play all of Warcraft.
Yeah, I've never played Warcraft, so I want to watch a movie just because of the spectacle.
I didn't play a lot of Warcraft 2, and I didn't even play like most of 3 either.
All right, so what do you give Warcraft, Eric?
I'm going to give it a 6.
All right. And then you have
that's actually better than I expected.
Yeah, that's okay. That's above average. That's what I expect.
I don't know if there'll be a sequel. I kind of want there to be a sequel.
There probably will be. Because it did gangbusters in China.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So what?
Actually, I think it's already been confirmed that there's been a sequel, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, Eric. So what's next, bud? You got one more review.
Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Doctor Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things. Now, some people are probably disappointed with the movie because I guess they were expecting more action-y stuff. But Doctor Strange's character is...
That's never been what Doctor Strange has been about.
Yeah.
I know, he's a doctor. He's not supposed to be violent.
Right.
But I mean, it's like Doctor Strange was always the psychedelic one. It came up during the 60s, during that phase. Like, if you look at some of the original artwork that they did, it's fucking insane. And what I've seen in the previews is just like... That looks pretty true to the spirit of the original artwork.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you could complain about is about making Sorcerer Supreme a non-Asian.
He wasn't Asian to begin with, man. Oh, you mean the big one, the ancient one.
Yeah, the ancient one, yeah.
But she looked the part.
He used to be a Tibetan. They made him into Tilda Swinton.
Which is fine. Yeah, she was fine in the movie.
And that's largely due to the Chinese market. Basically, they don't want to acknowledge Tibet as its own country.
Mm.
And it's like, I get it. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I understand the reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
And, by the way, I like Doctor Strange too, man. I thought it was a great
movie. Anyways, I thought it was a good movie, and I liked the different types of spells he had to learn and stuff like that.
How did you like Benedict Cumberbatch in the role?
Benedict Cumberbatch does a good job of pretending to not be a British person.
He was, you know, when you think of, I didn't think of Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor.
He comes across a little bit as like, I think he was trying to imitate Hallis's character.
If you want to be a British guy playing an American doctor, like, well, Hugh Laurie is the guy to imitate.
Yeah. Yeah, look, if ever you've seen a movie like with a superhero in it and you're like, holy fuck, that person totally embodied what I pictured in the comic books in my mind and stuff. Cumberbatch, really, really fucking nailed it, man. He was an absolute perfect Doctor Strange. Like,
I'm not familiar with the character of Mordo, but he's probably a big name in the Strange universe. But yeah, I've never really kept up with Strange.
Yeah.
Doctor Mordo is a major character.
Yeah. But Doctor Strange is great. Great. Great movie. Benedict
Was Baron Mordo a black person in the comics?
I don't think so, given the time.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm.
So what are you giving Doctor Strange?
Oh, what I do hate about this movie though is what they did with the Mandarin. He'll never be a good villain for Doctor Strange to fight, and technically because he's already taken care of.
All right, so what are you giving Doctor Strange?
I'm gonna give it 9.5, maybe.
Ooh, 9.5. That's exactly what I was going to give it, man. 9.5. I thought it was a great movie.
That's actually a pretty high rating for you. You're normally not that generous with movies.
Yeah. Mm. I also give it.
I really want to check it out.
I'm not exactly. I don't know what to think of what they did with the dude. I don't want to spoil too much.
Don't spoil anything, man. Wasn't he the villain
in Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
No, he was a playable character.
Galactus was the big bad. Is not to scale. That's all I could say.
Well, no, Dormammu isn't gigantic. He's just large.
Yeah,
he's like double human size.
Yeah. All right, here it is, guys. After this week, I really don't want to talk about it again. I'm depressed enough as it is, man. But the election results, Donald Trump pulled it off, man.
Yes, he did.
Who wants to start? Because it was a shit show.
It should have been obvious because I was dead set and completely. I was so secure in the opposite happening. It should have been obvious that's what would happen.
I saw one of the things that actually I saw a video today that just pretty much for me completely crystallized. Like, this is why it happened, mm-hmm. and it's not because
it wasn't third party voting.
I mean, like there was a couple of states where third party voting could have swayed things, but that's not the. It's like, yeah, in that case, it could have changed things, but that's not the core problem. The core problem is not the right. The core problem is the left.
Yeah.
We have, the left in general has created an environment where the right, people who disagree with them in any way, shape, or form are not allowed to voice their opinions.
Yeah.
Like, you either, it's this complete absolutist mentality where you either, this name and shame policy that the left has taken on. You either agree with us completely or we label you as a racist, a sexist, a bigot, whatever. It's like not every Trump supporter is a racist or a sexist or a bigot or whatever you want to say.
It's so bad.
I can't tell the antis from the actual racist anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, these people, like, you've essentially created this environment where anyone who just, who is conservative is automatically a bad person for being conservative. That's not true.
The thing is, even these
evangelicals.
I think people in their frustration became jackasses, though.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, but the thing is, that's true on both sides. There was a video that I saw today, and I was like, holy shit, I agree with this guy 100%. It was like Jonathan.
Was it the SHW video or something?
No, he's like this British guy, and I can't remember his name. God, why is it escaping me? I keep wanting to say Jon Snow, but it's not Jon fucking Snow.
Please give us a link because I want to watch that.
I'll link you to it. But he's talking about how, like, the left has essentially created this environment where, if one of the things he said was, if I see one more fucking tweet, and he's not shy about cursing, with hashtag everyday sexism with hashtag Trump wins. It's like, no, Trump didn't win because people are sexist. Trump won because people fucking hated Hillary. She was a shitty candidate.
Yeah.
She could not motivate people to vote for her.
Here's the deal.
Horrible voter turnout.
And my motivation for voting for her is I didn't want Trump to win.
Let me say something. Yes,
one of the reasons that Trump was able to get a lot of, like, small town votes and Hillary wasn't is because Trump went to those small towns and he actually talked to those people. Hillary sent people to go there.
Yeah,
let me finish, Eric.
Yeah.
When you're talking about people feeling like these politicians are elite, that's exactly a feeling when your politician won't go there. Yeah. She sends other people to go talk for her. Like, you automatically feel like I'm not good enough to talk to. Whereas Donald Trump went to a lot of small towns in America. He went to my town.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
Hillary absolutely represented status quo.
Yeah.
No change whatsoever. And that's not what a lot of these people wanted. It's like they didn't care what kind of change it was. It's like Hillary, you know, it's like, you know, Hillary was like, no change at all. Trump is like a scary change, but yeah, it's at least it's something.
Here's my take on it, guys. Please let me finish. All right. I got a couple things to get off my chest. And like I said, I'm still reeling. Last week,
I think everybody is. We're all like total shock. So
last week, I told you guys that this type of shit scares the fuck out of me. I've never been more scared in my life for me, my wife, my kids, my family. Like I am literally hoping that we can hold on for 4 years. That's my hope.
Not to mention all the racists that came out of the woodwork.
Here's why. You guys touched on a couple things that contributed, but it's a coalescence of a bunch of things, all right? But the main thing is, and I thought about this, right? You were talking about Donald Trump, like going to small towns and stuff like that. I think that has a little to do with it, Breakman, and I think there is some validity to that. The one thing that Donald Trump did to turn this thing around for him, because there at certain points he was far behind Hillary Clinton. Yeah. There's no question about it.
Especially on election night, he started off behind her, and I was mocking everybody.
All the projections put him with a 20% chance of winning.
This is the single thing that won Donald Trump the election, okay? He said something that resonated with millions and millions and millions of people, all right? He said on one of his tweets, he said, when I get to Washington, I'm going to drain the swamp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
– I agree with that. I hope it happens.
After – it's not going to happen.
Trust him for five seconds.
It's not going to happen because I'll tell you why.
What exactly are you referring to, though?
Hold on.
Term limits for Congress. We need term limits. I agree with that.
Here's what happened. All right. The second he did that, and he did that, I think it was right after the second debate. By the way, he lost every one of those fucking debates. I don't care what anybody tells me. He was awful. He's an awful orator. There's so many.
Absolutely.
There's nothing viable in him as a candidate to be president of the United States other than he galvanized people, right? When he said, I'm going to drain the swamp, right? That message right there, if I didn't know anything about Donald Trump and what a piece of shit bigot and racist and misogynist and potential probable rapist and all these different isms that you want to call him.
I know it's probable, but I guarantee he is.
I can't say for sure because I wasn't in the room. All
right, you're right. I'm sorry. He sexually assaulted his wife.
Right.
I say that out of anger, but you're right.
I agree with you, Breakman. I feel the same way. I honestly think he's a rapist, and I hope sometime soon it comes out that it is. I mean, he's still scheduled to go to trial on a couple things, but which will probably be swept under the rug now that he's president, but. The drain the swamp thing was the single thing that rallied undecided voters to say, you know what, we're going to take a brick to the establishment and fucking shatter everything. He's going to go in there and he's going to be a fucking wrecking ball. Now
he took advantage of people's frustrations. It's just like what happened with Brexit.
Right. What is not going to happen is he's not going to drain the swamp. All right. He's not going to go into the presidency and do a fucking thing. He will do nothing as the president of the United States. OK, other than hire other people that are going to do awful things for him, starting with his vice president, Mike Pence. Mike Pence scares me way worse than Donald Trump. All right.
Yes.
This wall Absolutely. That he's talking about, it's never going to happen. The deportation of 11 million people. Sorry, that's not going to happen in 4 years. Get the fuck out of here with that stupid bullshit. But what is going to happen is he's going to have a cabinet of fucktards that will absolutely destroy every bit of progress that we've had for the past 30 to 50 years, all right? We're talking about
– more like 50 or 60.
You're going to get rid of Obamacare too. I mean, it has its problems, but well, actually, it also has its uses.
Hang on. He's actually – like one of the things he's actually come out and said after meeting with Obama, and who knows if he's going to follow through on this. He said he's not out to – he doesn't want to destroy Obamacare. He wants to amend it.
Okay. Here's the thing, all right? Trump doesn't scare me. People got it right. Jimmy Dore got it right. Brakeman got it right. I think even to a certain extent, you got it right, Moria. The guy's an idiot. He's never going to get anything done. But the people that are going to get things done are Mike Pence, that fucking scumbag, low-life, gay conversionist is going to fucking wreck LGBT legislation. Rudy Giuliani is rumored to be the new attorney general. Stop and frisk. That's all I got to say about that motherfucking piece of shit. He is one of the worst Americans that we have going right now. He is
Ben Carson being floated as Secretary of Education.
Oh, I haven't even gotten to that. Newt Gingrich as Secretary of State. Are you fucking kidding me, man? Newt fucking Gingrich.
And you see the newest thing about Gingrich? Where he's floating the idea of basically creating another un-American behavior sort of thing.
Yeah.
Let me make my point on Newt Gingrich. He talks about draining the swamp and then talks about Newt Gingrich.
Yep. Exactly.
His party.
All this.
Like Newt Gingrich has been around.
Gingrich is fill it with even more shit.
No. Gingrich is a fucking sinkhole of a person.
Oh my God. Newt Gingrich is awful.
He's been in office for at least the 90s that I remember.
Yeah.
He's been around a long time.
70s, 80s, man.
Draining the swamp would include that asshole.
Oh, and you know another one? He just mentioned, Moria just mentioned, Ben Carson. Head of education. Are you fucking kidding me? This fucking low-life fucking Ben Carson. Are you kidding me? They're seriously
goddamn
thinking
– young earth creationist in charge of fucking education.
A guy that thinks the earth is 6,000 years old is going to be in charge of education.
Wait, is it? Frank. Just don't dash my dreams anymore. What next thing you're gonna fucking tell me Santa isn't real?
Right.
If that's true,
Frank would know. He's old enough.
You know. Check this out. I actually got. I felt better when they said that Rens Priebus was going to be his chief of staff. I mean, how bad is that? That the head of the RNC. I'm actually happy that somebody with some type of fucking brains. Is thought about in his cabinet, man. But Ben fucking Carson.
It's going to be really hard to have checks and balances when all three branches are controlled by the same party.
Oh, it's going
to
be a wrecking ball, man. And then, you know what's even worse? The Supreme Court judges are all going to be conservative now. So now Roe versus Wade, gone.
Our only hope is some of these
conservatives,
Let me clarify something there. People are like, "Oh, Roe v. Wade is going to disappear." It's like that's not necessarily the case.
Hang on.
There's something specific going on with that. You can't just put something in front of the Supreme Court. Something has to be challenged, and it has to make its way up through the appeals process up to the Supreme Court.
That
may not happen. I'm not saying it won't.
All right.
It's not necessarily a foregone conclusion.
I'm going to make a very, very bold prediction right now, man. Roe versus Wade, as we know it, within the next year and a half, is going to fucking be gone. It's going to be gone.
Address somebody in chat. A good president knows not to shoot the food either.
Exactly. All right. So look, everything that Mike Pence wants.
Donald Trump shot the food.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
Everything that Mike Pence wants, Mike Pence is going to get. All right. I'm telling you right now, Mike Pence is so scary to me, right? I have family members that are gay. I have friends that are gay. It is going to be
trans. Mind, like, but... Yeah, you're not the only one. It's like my stepdaughter is, you know, is trans.
Yeah,
and yeah. You know, she's lucky.
My brother's gay.
Yeah, she's like, she's gender fluid, and she can easily pass for straight if she chooses to.
I hope so, man.
But she has a lot of friends who are not.
Yeah,
and these are kids that I've met and I like and I care about.
Yeah,
and
this is like,
it's fucking scary for them.
It's not only scary, and look, Breakman.
And more than anything, I'm worried how strained our relationships with our allies is going to become now.
Oh my God, it's going to be a fucking nightmare, man.
One thing I will say, I'm scared less.
To all the people that they were voting for a better future,
Eric,
Trump,
wait. I'm less scared of Trump and his cabinet than I am of the normalization that we're already seeing evidence of all the racism all the bigotry and all the hatred that people are already dealing with.
People
like people being attacked in the street just for not just like, you know, someone coming. Like I saw a story about, it's like this girl said, you know, like, you know, this guy came up to me and said, you know, are you happy Trump won? And just like, not really. And just went and fucking grabbed her by the pussy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just ran off. It's like, you know, get used to it, libtard. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Maybe Anita Sarkeesian's videos aren't so fucking crazy now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, I've never been the, you know, it's like, I was never been like the biggest fan of her. But I was like, I could look at her and say, like, I see points there. She's not making her points very well, but she has points to make.
You know, here's the deal, guys. Like, I think it was last week I intimated on this show, and I've been thinking about this since Donald Trump, like, announced his, you know, run in 2015. Like, if he got in there, you know, with what we were saying, it is not far off to think that eventually my dad could end up in an internment camp or, you know, illegal immigrants or Muslims or anything like that. And people laughed. They're like,
or
that's
fucking,
not,
or you.
Yeah. That's not going to,
I mean, it's like, okay. People, you know, I posted something on Facebook a while back about this and people are like, what are you worried about? You're a white guy. I'm like, I'm a white guy who's been a vocal anti-theist for years with an extremely Jewish last name.
Yeah.
Don't act like I have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I have
L to speak up for.
Yeah, no, here's the deal, man. Like, I know it would take some work and all that, but it didn't take too much work when they did it for World War II, man. Like, that shit happens. The laws are still there, and there's two things that Dungeon Buster said something very, very poignant in chat. He said, this is gonna. What did he say here? I don't want to get his quote wrong. He said, "Yeah, he won't be able to do shit." But there was something he said about the long-term damage that's going to be done with this presidency. I mean, it is enormously catastrophic. Like,
I think the damage is mostly social.
Yes, I would agree with that, man. Like, this is going to be, we might survive these next 4 years. That make no mistake about it.
We'll survive.
You
know? Yeah, America, there's no question. As much as people wanted to say, like, you know, this is the end of the American experiment. America is doomed. And all this stuff. No, it's fucking not.
Well,
America will. It's been hurt. It's been
the president has a lot less power than most people seem to realize.
No, I agree with that.
Here's the thing, Brick. It's not so much about power. It's about influence.
But what happens when Donald Trump decides that he wants to be more of a dictator, Breakman? Like, what happens then? There's nothing to stop him. You think Senate's going to stop him? You think Congress is going to stop this motherfucker? You think the military is going to stop him?
What are you talking about?
Dude, I'm telling you, dude. This is how fucking...
I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't foresee, like, the doomsday scenario of Trump becoming a second Hitler.
Well, nobody thought that about Hitler either, man.
You know, I'm not saying it's impossible. I think it's unlikely.
Yeah. Well, it was unlikely for Donald Trump to become president, and here we are, man. Like, we're two months away from the impossible happening.
Oh, let's just talk again in a couple of years about God. That.
If I'm even here in 2 years, man, like
yeah, literally. No, we'll be talking about this again, and me and Morty will be talking about
I'm gonna
how
be there.
Culture, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be there in a few months, and fuck this. This white dude is going to be looking out for my Hispanic friend.
Yeah, I hope
so. And anybody has a problem with that, I will deal with them physically.
But what about Frank?
Well, I don't give a shit about that guy.
I just think, like, honestly, guys, like, I went into a deep depression afterwards. Like, not because Hillary Clinton didn't win. Everybody knows how I feel about that.
No, I need more young people running for president.
I definitely understand the fear with this guy. Like, I understand all that, but I just the way our government's set up, the president just doesn't have as much power as he's not a king.
No,
he can't just like point and say, hey, we're building this wall.
With the power of the Senate and
the
Congress,
wall,
dude,
it will never fucking happen.
I don't think so either. I don't think the wall is going to happen.
I don't think it'll be a giant fence either.
No, there
well,
will
that's
be.
The thing is, like, people talk about this, like, you know, the wall. It's like, oh yeah, Mexico's going to pay for it. No, they fucking won't, because it's a goddamn money pit.
What?
So check this out,
money,
guys.
The wall would be a money pit.
You said you
just
want us
maintaining
to what now?
What's that?
You said you want us to do. You want us to pay for it?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. Look,
so you're mimicking that. You're mimicking the Mexican president now.
Yeah, pretty much. He wants to be. Yeah. Hey. Mexican people, this is your president. Donald Trump wants us to pay for the wall.
You know what? We laugh at this. We laugh at this, Breakman, but in all actuality, the Mexican president pretty much said as much. We'll pay for it.
I know.
No, he didn't.
He said.
He said, we will not pay for this.
No.
Like,
there was, no, there you guys didn't. This, like, oh, you guys didn't see this, man. As soon as Donald Trump was elected, they interviewed him, and he said, oh yeah, we'll pay for it. Like sort of jokingly, but like sort of like we need to kiss this guy's ass type of thing, you know, because really? if we don't, things could be really bad for us, you know, like I'm telling you guys, this is the worst for me personally. This was the worst absolute fucking scenario humanly imaginable. Hear me out on this. Hispanic, friends and family that are gay, atheist. What else did I see in this whole list of fucking awful things? Poor.
Basically, if you're any kind of minority. But I, before you go on, I wanted to touch on something that I saw. And it's like, I remembered the guy's name. His name is Jonathan Pye. I just sent Eric a link to the video. But it's this video where he's talking about, like, since the left has essentially, balkanized the political discourse to such an extent where the people who agree with Trump in any way, shape, or form are demonized as being sexist, racist, or whatever. You know, they don't feel that they have the ability to speak out without being shouted down. The one place that the left has allowed for them to speak their minds, to say what they mean, is the fucking voting booth, and that's what they did.
Oh,
and it's true.
Man.
It's like we left them no other place. You know, like we would, you know, the left would not engage them in dialogue. Like this name and shame culture. It's like, oh, you did this, ergo you were a bad person. No one was willing to talk to these people like human fucking beings.
Yeah.
Like
no,
like,
I,
you.
I,
you
know, and like I was saying, like Hillary Clinton wasn't going to like these small towns where these people are suffering. They've lost their jobs. A lot of these people have lost their will to live.
And by the way,
they're struggling bad. And right. Donald Trump went to these damn towns. Hillary Clinton sent other people to go in her stead.
Yeah.
And I have to say,
that means a lot to those people.
Yes, but I have to say, like, I know we don't have a large audience, but if you're struggling, anybody who's listening to this, if you're worried, if you're scared, call someone. There is a suicide helpline. Mm-hmm. people who are willing to talk to you, who are willing to help you, who want you to stay alive.
Yeah.
We want you to stay alive. Please seek help. You yeah. don't have, you are not alone.
Yeah. I,
yeah. And you can, if, I mean, if you want to, you can talk to me on Twitter or all of us on Twitter, I'm sure. Yeah.
And yeah, by the way,
you just want somebody to talk to.
By the way, I think we're looking at 8 years, man. The DNC's got its head up its ass, man. They're not going to pick somebody like Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren would wipe the fucking table with Donald yeah. Trump.
Although, I will say one thing.
This is the way it has historically been. It's every 4 to 8 years it switches politically. Like, it's a different
But I
that's
will,
just the
I
way
want,
it always has been
thing,
historically.
Though.
I thought this year was going to be, like, the time to buck the trend and as usual, yeah. I was wrong.
Well, I mean, the thing is, people thought, like, oh, Hillary Clinton's good enough. You know, no, she fucking wasn't. And that was the goddamn problem. Because people were just like, yeah, things, you know, like, again, that thing where, like, the left has won the culture war. It's like, well, guess what? There's still a fuck of a lot of people who are not happy with the way things are. And we can't rely on
and I was talking about, like, going, like, how Donald Trump went, like, the small towns and went to the people that, like, the big wigs like Hillary didn't go to. Bernie did, too.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so well-liked.
I tell you what, yeah. there's a couple.
He went to places yeah. that were struggling.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Send somebody in his stead.
A couple of us.
I remember. I actually just recently I saw a YouTube or not a YouTube video, an Onion article that I thought was real. It was like Bernie takes over a guy like some blue collar worker's welding job so that he can go vote on voting day. And like I thought it was real because that sounds exactly like the kind of thing Bernie would do.
Yeah. And by the way, here's a couple of observations, right? God, man, I'm like hurting so bad, guys. Like I've never hurt so bad after an election. Bernie Sanders would have won, no question about it.
I know we've been like downplaying what you're saying, but we're not happy either, right? Yeah. We just want you to understand that.
Look, and check this out.
I'm fucking pissed off.
In no way. Yeah, we're definitely not happy about this.
I got a couple of observations.
Off, but I'm choosing to direct my anger.
Mrs. Brakeman walked
all the right
people. Shaking her head.
Yeah.
She's just shaking her head.
Just, look. I guess my point is like it's not just the right, you know, the third party voters. It's not just the people on the right. The left bears a fuck ton of responsibility in this too.
Look, before I forget, guys.
Going to these small towns, she's ignored so many people. Yeah. They feel like when they hear the name Clinton, they think elite.
Look,
but the thing is, Clinton is also like that. Hillary was also this.
Yeah,
you know,
let me.
Everyone knows that, like, every people hated Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, let me.
Well,
let me,
and she actively too. She,
let me get these.
Not to mention himself as buying into conspiracies about the death thing.
Yeah, let me. Yeah. Let me. Can I?
Clinton
let me just.
Killings or
let me just get these.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Apparently,
let me
until,
get
like,
these two things
ago.
Off
I'm
of my
sorry.
Mind.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Guys. Before
guys,
I forget.
Guys, hang on. We're running out of time. Let Frank finish his thought.
Let me intimate a couple of things, all right, that are on my mind here that I can't even believe I'm even talking about a Donald Trump presidency. But look,
I can't fucking either.
Number one, anybody, and I mean any fucking body that voted for Donald Trump and thinks that he's going to bring jobs back to you, you guys are the biggest fucking morons I've ever seen in my life. Okay, all you need for proof of that is look at his failed clothing lines, right? His clothing lines, where did he fucking put those jobs?
Hey, Frank, I have to call you out on this.
Hold on,
but
let me finish. I didn't even finish my point.
Okay, but I have to say, like, name calling is exactly what got us into this.
Oh, fuck this guy, man. Fuck this guy. I don't care, man. I can't. This guy is the worst of the worst of the fucking worst, man. I can't think of another politician.
Okay, but I understand that. But the thing is, you can call out Trump for being what he is without calling out the people who voted for him.
Oh, my God.
Whether mistakenly or not.
No, look, I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to extend it on olive branch to people who voted for him. Once you finally realize that you've made a big mistake, will you work with people like me and other people to correct your mistake.
Let me. Can I finish my points before we get into this? All right. My point still stands, Moria. All right. These people. How could you even? The information is there, right in front of your fucking face, man. I mean, this guy basically said he grabs women by their pussy. Are you fucking kidding me? You're fucking kidding me. You actually in
this because a lot of people hold the attitude, well, I don't care about his personal behavior as long as he can get shit done.
You're in you have the information right in front of you, right? And you fucking put the ballot down for Donald Trump. You've got to be fucking joking me, man. The other thing I wanted to say, jobs will not
It was a good one.
Look, the jobs thing, look at where his clothing line came from. Fucking China. He ain't bringing Jobs back to you. He's laughing at you. All right?
I was really hoping you were going to say Mexico.
You're looking basically at advertising versus reality.
Look, and check this out. Here's another thing. All right? Let me get these points off, Mug, because I'll forget them and they'll be in the ether and I never want to fucking talk about this shit anymore. As bad as I fucking hate shit, Donald Trump is... He's my personal wrecking ball, man. This guy's been known for years. All you got to do is look at the Anonymous's Death Op Eaters hashtag on Twitter. You'll find all of the fucking information you need about Trump and how fucking bad he is. Right? The guy's a fucking
how like every 2 years he changes which party he's.
That's another thing.
What's funny is like Sam Harris made a comment about how it's like how ironic is it that evangelicals just elected our first atheist president, our first openly atheist president.
He is.
No, not. I mean, he hasn't come out and said it, but
yeah. But if you look at his history,
he's certainly no Christian. That's all I can tell.
Yeah, he is not. He is not in any way, shape, or form a religious man.
No, no way.
He knows how to. He absolutely knows how to pander to them, but he is not a religious man.
Six bankruptcies.
He has failed at the times he's tried to quote the Bible.
Yeah, six. Fucking bankruptcies, all right? And you think this guy is going to save America? I was looking at the Anonymous Twitter account, and they were like, you look at this guy, you basically what you did is you elected a Nazi as president of the United States, and there's a lot of fucking parallels to what he said.
They bought on the bullshit about Hillary.
Dungeon Buster brought up a good point, man. It's like these people that voted, they voted for the alt-right and the teabaggers, man. Tea Party. I call them teabaggers.
You mean they play Halo? No.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah,
I was going to say, don't bring me into this conversation. Enough with this.
So bottom line is I'm just hoping to last the next 4 years, guys. And I hope, beyond all hope, that we can find somebody that's not an establishment person on the DNC.
Hey, if he's shit, like Trump can run for presidency and win, not have be qualified at all, then I guess I could.
Anybody actually, could.
That raises a good question, though. Have we ever in the history of the United States had an incumbent president who chose not to run for re-election?
I think it has happened before, man. I don't know the history.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's like assuming it's possible, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump chose not to run for re-election.
Oh God, that would be the best thing.
He's about to face a very harsh lesson. The presidency is a fucking stressful and difficult job.
Look at Obama, and not for him. Super gray.
Oh yeah, but it's
that
like,
was 8 years.
Standing there, it's like working in the Oval Office, you will always stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you will always owe something to those who came before you.
He doesn't
And
care.
You will always have a massive amount of responsibility on your shoulders.
And where's the tax return?
His toupee is gonna start graying.
One thing you guys aren't thinking about too is that he isn't liked by the Republican Party, so it isn't just gonna be the left who's gonna be fighting him in 4 years. It's gonna be the right who's also gonna be.
I'd be surprised if he resigns halfway through.
Well, that's the thing. It's like odds are good. Someone said that I don't remember who it was who said that. you know, odds are good that he's going to serve as a rubber stamp for whatever the Republican-dominated Congress wants to do.
Which is a nightmare in itself, man. I mean, it's just it's a fucking disaster. But no two ways about it. If we would have won the Senate, things might have been a little bit better. And I don't want to hear this bullshit about filibustering either, because the Democrats ain't going to do a fucking thing, man. They're just going to sit there and lay down and roll over. Because
Democrats like take it in the ass.
That's what they're going to do, man. And
wait, is that their slogan?
Yeah. Democrats taking it in the ass. That's what's going to happen.
Nice. Man. I like this. Tell me more.
but I know, like,
there's a reason they're called bleeding.
Eric, hang on. You asked me before if I remember the name of that journalist's name. His name is Jonathan Pie, P-I-E, like, you know, like yum-yum pie.
Kazin is in chat. Welcome, Kazin. It's been a while since we've seen you. Kazin. He says,
look him up on Facebook and, you know, look up Jonathan Pie on Facebook. The video's all over everywhere.
Yeah.
Watch it and he will articulate his arguments far better than I can, and you'll see where I'm coming from. And I honestly think he's 100% right.
Kazin says no one loves more Muslims more than me. I know a lot about religion, just like he knows more about the generals and knows more about fucking ISIS. That's a fucking nightmare.
Remember that whole thing where he talked about how he loves Mexicans and eating tacos?
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Nobody makes a better taco but like. No, it's like nobody makes better taco bowls than at the restaurant in Trump Tower.
Dungeon Buster says Lyndon Johnson chose not to seek a second term. So, yes, there's precedence for that. I hope so, okay. Man. Because that would be even worse. I don't know how it could get worse, but it's...
Because, I mean, honestly, I don't think Trump ever wanted the presidency.
I don't think
so. He wanted to say that he won the presidency. Like, he wanted it as a trophy.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's the end of the show. I know we went a little over. I hope our political talk didn't turn off our two listeners. But,
ass man.
Yeah. But let's start with bleeding ass
bleed
man.
Too much or you might die.
Bleeding ass man, your plugs, please.
Wait, plugs? What?
You don't want?
don't plug the ass. No.
But wait, plugging the ass is one of the best things about it.
Yeah, YouTube didn't exist in the first term of the Bush era. It does now. Kazin says the repulsiveness will be televised with us not being able to do a fucking thing, or Congress or Senate or anybody. But go ahead, bleeding ass man.
I don't know. My ass is too bloody. you can follow me at @break_man and at RP Grinders. I'm staying off Twitter because I'm afraid. There's so much anger and hatred and everything else going on Twitter right now and social media in general. I'm just staying away. I'm afraid for my life.
Yeah. Well, you
I'm
think you're
my
afraid.
Ass. It's bleeding enough.
You think you're afraid, man. Holy fuck, dude. I've never been more afraid in my life, man. All right. And I've
encountered... Your ass isn't bleeding. I don't want to hear nothing.
Not yet, man. Until Trump wants to fuck me out of existence. That's like South Park. Fuck everybody.
I was going to say, like, basically what Trump is saying is that Frank needs to be fucked to death.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to happen.
Giant douche is coming for you, Frank.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. Eric.
You can find reviews at sites like BostonBastardBrigade.com. The reviews for this week are Chase, Cold Case Investigations, Distant Memories, and today my review of Psychopaths, Mandatory Happiness went up. And you can also find other reviews on sites like TotallyGN.com, GameTactics.com, and HonestGamers.com and VogNetwork.com. And... I've also got a YouTube channel, Funny T Man.
Alright.
And you can find me on Twitter at EricRBG. And I have a Patreon, which I'm going to include in the chat, and I hope people can pass around. And
tweet it out, Eric. We'll retweet you, man, for sure.
I'll just tweet my post of the review because I actually posted it on my Patreon, and I'm actually using that instead of my blog now, because it is my blog now. Right. And my blog's going to serve more as a resume for people.
There you go. All right, Mug, your plugs.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and basically everywhere else is at Moriamug. It's MORIYAMUG. And let me say this.
Whoops. Copy-paste failed.
If you see someone, like, people are being harassed and stalked and sought out and targeted and all this shit all going on already. If you see it happening, please help them. You know, you don't have to confront people directly. If you see someone being targeted, you know, engage with that person and ignore the people attacking them. You know, let it be known that you are that you are there to help.
Yeah,
you know, just talk to them as a human being. It's like engage them. It doesn't matter how fucking, you know, small the talk is. Just and ignore the people who are being aggressors. Get and follow their lead. If they need to get out of there, it's like if you're on a subway or whatever, help them get out of that situation.
Yeah, as long as they're not a cop, which I fear for my life even more so now.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm talking about like the everyday confrontations that Trump's election has normalized.
Yeah.
It's like if you see someone who's being harassed, be like a woman in a hijab who's being harassed because she's wearing a fucking hijab, or someone who is, you know, who is obviously transgender or does not look like gender conformist or whatever, or who is black or who is Hispanic or any kind of person of color. If you are a white person, especially if you are a white male, you have more power than you realize. Please help these people.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
They need it and they deserve it. You know, and you have more like and you have the ability to do more than you understand.
Yeah.
So please help them.
Yeah. All right, I want to thank Dungeon Buster and Kazan in chat. Thank you guys so much for joining my sorrow.
I want to show you everybody a funny picture to help bring some levity this week.
Yeah. All right, thank you guys in chat so much, Dungeon Buster and Kazan. As always, thank you, know we really appreciate it. I'm super happy.
Actually,
that we
this
have.
One worked better.
I'm super happy that we have. People that listen to us, and it's kind of therapeutic for me, and I really appreciate it. And everybody listen on the archives as well. We don't know who you are, but you know, catch us on Twitter at RP Grinders, and my personal Twitter account at Frank Branches. I'd like to hear from you too, man. I need all the help I can get to get through this, but. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see everybody back here next week. Until then, we are out. Thank you guys.